When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan. Sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 306. McMonagle here with you on The Fan, 888-808-1019. Living in Giants misery here. As we got a show up and going. Bum, bum. Out on the prowl. I need to sing. It was a glorious day too. I mean, I don't know if you guys are out and about, but man, oh man, what a beautiful day today. I went and I set everything up. I had people coming over. I smoked a pork shoulder. I was making pulled pork. A couple of family members came over with some pizza, some wings. We had a nice day. The kids were watching football. I have the setup in the living room with the three TVs, and I even pulled a TV outside so we eat outside and watch the Giant game outside. It was just a beautiful day. I was so excited for the first football Sunday. It was a gorgeous Sunday morning. And I got to watch that crap. And I can't even imagine being there. I can't even imagine going to the game, which first off, we all know. Everyone knows. If you're a season ticket holder, I don't mean to upset you or offend you. Tailgating, going there, the experience, the tradition, the bonding, obviously all very special. Going to a football game, it's not my favorite sporting event to go to. Football is so perfect on TV. You want to watch all the other games. You're focused on your fantasy. You got your bets, whatever. It's just, you want to do it maybe once a year. Maybe. And preferably like a primetime game. But imagine going to that game, the home opener, a lot of optimism. Even though the season, I think most people are, you know, hesitant to get too overly optimistic about what this season could be. But I think there was a lot of Giant fans who were like, you know what, we're under the radar here. Daniel Jones does have some weapons. You know, the Vikings aren't very good. I know here at the station, almost everybody picked them, except Giannotti. Good for him. But being in that building, ready to start this year after the disaster that was last year, having a little bit of faith, they traded for a pass rusher. Just, I don't know, just the Sam Darnold coming into your building. Like, there's just, that's, if you're going to win a game, if this season's going to be anything, you got to win that game. And to have the embarrassing display of offense, which is without question the worst thing to watch and what we've had to deal with this Giant team for forever. So everyone in the building, I mean, is just miserable. They're losing 14-3 at the half, and they're getting booed out of the building. And how could, it's got to be very difficult not to boo. I know it's game one. I know that. But it's not one of 162. It's one of 17. This game is imperative to the Giants' season, and they, in the first half, not much better in the second half, but in the first half, were just inept in every way. And the Vikings were clearly outclassing them. And so the fans rained down boos at the end of the first half, and really throughout the game, but they were gone in the fourth quarter by the time to boo them at the end of the game. But how could you blame a fan for spending all the money, in investing his entire day, being there for hours and hours and hours to watch that? And so when Dexter Lawrence, who, by the way, played a very solid game, especially early on, but played a very good game, is probably their best player without Saquon Barkley now, and we'll see what Neighbors becomes, and Andrew Thomas is very good, but I would say Sexy Dexy is probably the best Giant player. He's one of the best D tackles in the league. And in many ways, which is unlikely for a guy who doesn't really get a ton of sacks, is kind of the face of the team right now outside of Daniel Jones and maybe Malik Nabers, but that's just day one. And when he's asked about the booing of the fans, this is what he had to say.
you're on defense, not offense, but there was some fans did not seem very happy at a lot of points in this game. Could you hear that on the sideline?
Could I hear the fans?
Yeah, I mean, you know, they
however many fans there are?
Yeah, booing at home. Yeah, booing your team.
Could I hear them?
Yeah.
Can you get another question, please?
What do you make of that? What do you make of the boys?
I don't respect it, honestly. I get it. They want to see their team win. You know, it's just a rough patch. It just is what it is.
Yeah, I don't respect it. And I know, I don't think he's saying I don't respect the fans. I'm not saying that. I'm sure that's not what he meant. I just think that we are in a new, we've talked about it too, trying to connect to these young players. You got to do it differently. Like, it's been a conversation around sports for a while. But it's very simple for Dexter Lawrence. And I think it's very simple for a lot of fans. For a lot of athletes. You root for the Giants. Why would you boo us? I think it's just that simple. You're a Giant fan. We're the Giants. You cheer us. You don't boo us. It's that simple to a lot of these guys. And I think they have a hard time understanding why you would pay your money, why you would go to these games, why you would support the franchise, why you would show up in that building to cheer them on, and then because of the little rough patch they're in, that you would rain down boos upon them. And I just think and specifically, we've heard a lot with the Yankees because of the tenor of the fan base, not having won a championship since 2009, and all the, you know, booing of different guys like Hicks and Gallo and everybody, and obviously some booing, not, you know, nearly a lot, but a handful booing Aaron Judge in the playoffs 2 years ago. And the Yankee players and the Yankee, you know, just having, can't understand it. And I think this is, you know, it goes beyond, like, I don't think, because I know Aaron Boone gets a lot of blame for instilling that in the players and instilling the we'll be fine. And, like, even the comment there, like, I don't think Brian Daboll is creating an atmosphere of this is just a rough patch, we'll be fine. But that's what Dexter Lawrence said. Dexter Lawrence, who has been here for a while, drafted by Dave Gettleman, has seen what most, you know, has had the one winning season, but has also been around for losing seasons, knows what happened last year, was experiencing that game, called it a rough patch. Hey, it's just a rough patch. We'll be fine. And I think we're starting to see that a lot of these athletes feel this way. Like, I don't know, long there might be the one here or there, but I mean, if Dexter Lawrence thinks the Giants are just going through a rough patch right now, like, this is what a lot of these athletes feel today. We'll be fine. It's okay. Hey, it's sports. This is what happens. You win some, you lose some. There's two teams, right? One of us had to lose. And they don't understand why you are just incensed by what we've seen. And I find it fascinating how they struggle with it. Now, can fans take it too far? And apparently they did, according to, I saw Art Stapleton talking about it. I guess there were a group of fans who waited outside the player's exit to, you know, get on Daniel Jones. And I did see a video, I don't know if it was Dove Kleiman I saw put it out there on Twitter and X, that, you know, they're burning Daniel Jones jerseys in the parking lot now. I mean, yeah, do I think that's stupid? Yeah, it's stupid. Why are we burning jerseys? Like, it is just a sport in the end. Like, I'm as mad as you can be about it. I'm as angry as you could possibly be about it. What are we, you know, you're burning jerseys, you're going out of your way. Like, it's when it's on the field, right? You want to boo a player on the field, fine. You're going to go. Instead of going to your car and going home and doing whatever you can to take your mind off of the game, you are going to wait outside the player exit, hoping to see Daniel Jones and his glorious beard and boo him while he leaves. Like, this is why there is a disconnect between today's athlete and the fan, because they don't understand that. I don't understand that. I understand the booing on the in the field. On the field. On the field's up for grabs. In your seat that you paid money for, you could boo, you can cheer, you can hiss, you can clap. You can do whatever you want. You can eat a York peppermint patty and feel like you're going down the slopes. You can do whatever you want to do. But, like, I think it's a bit much, and I'm as down on Daniel Jones as possible. But to be waiting outside the building to get on him, just go home. Go home and watch the other games. Get ready. We've been waiting all day for Sunday night. Go watch Sunday night. I mean, you've been waiting all day for it. And people love. I've known this, but again, like, the enthusiasm I've seen from, like, even a couple buddies of mine, and then on Twitter and X, like, the excitement for the opening theme song. Like, I know the joke is that, you know, nobody's been waiting around, and Francesa, when I was with Mike, did it once and was really funny, I thought. But, like, yeah, I mean, obviously, we're not waiting all day, but we've been eating and watching football all day. Nobody's been waiting for Sunday Night Football. But once you get past that, okay, yeah, listen, I've never been, if I could get rid of any game, I would get rid of Sunday Night Football. If I could cut a game off of the slate, it would be Sunday Night Football, because we've watched football all day. I was up 6 o'clock. I was up 6 o'clock this morning, you know, making sure my pork butt was good. I've been up all day. It's a long day. We've watched a lot of football. I got the ticket. I'm watching all these games. I'm wall to wall. You know, my wife wants to sit down on the couch and enjoy her Sunday night, and I'm like, sorry, Lions. We got the Lions on. Lions, Rams, hun. Like, it's a lot of football. I would absolutely cut, if I could cut one game, I would cut Sunday Night Football. And then I would just make Monday and Thursday night's games better. But the amount of people, like, just excited, and then the word she used, I know Nick Costos, who, by the way, is tremendous. And I guess Nick had his show extended a half hour on the Fan here. Great. I think he does a tremendous job. He puts out those videos of him going through the entire slate. Nick Costos is as good as it gets. Love Nick. Does a great job. But even he's, like, focused on, like, the word that she uses to describe the game. It's a monster matchup. Oh, she went with monster this week. Are we really that focused on this song? It's amazing to me how many people get up for this theme song in Sunday Night Football. I don't get it. It's hard for me to stay awake on Sunday Night Football. But go home and do that as opposed to waiting around to boo Daniel Jones. Daniel Jones was awful, though. I'll tell you that. Eddie in Rockland, what's up, Eddie?
Hey, Chris, how you doing, man?
Good, how are you? I'm doing wonderful. I'm doing great. I'm doing grand.
Right. And I see that you got your wish. You wanted Daniel Jones to fail. But let me ask you a question.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Right? Well, that's what I wanted him for, right?
No, I'm hoping for him to succeed. I'm not even. Yeah, of course I am. I'm hoping I'm dead wrong and the Giants won 50-12 yesterday. Why would I want anything else?
Let me ask you a few questions about the game.
Yeah.
Did you watch the entire game?
No, I only watched 5 minutes of it.
There you go.
I was busy.
Did you see any kind of, like, a play design that Daniel Jones was moving the ball around throwing to somewhere else and then, you know, turning around? I saw no play design. I saw play design from the Minnesota. I saw Sam Darnold.
Yeah, because
play design.
Yeah, because Sam Darnold was actually able to get the ball down the field.
Right. So you're going to tell me Sam Darnold now has a better skill set than Daniel Jones? Or maybe it's just the coaching?
Oh, okay. So, I would tell you
Sam Darnold,
100%,
and the Minnesota coach is better than Daniel Jones and Daboll, right?
I'm going to, they were yesterday. I don't know about the coach, but Sam Darnold coming out of college.
Sam Darnold,
let me just answer your first question about Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, first of all, we spent the entire first half talking about, and you know, the entire Fox crew and everybody else talking about Sam Darnold showing why he was the third overall pick and the arm strength. Sam Darnold, from the day he's been in the NFL, has had a better tool set than Daniel Jones. Without question, he came out of USC, and Daniel Jones came out of Duke. Like, there is no doubt, the thrower of the football, who's the better thrower of the football? It's Sam Darnold, always has been.
You think Sam Darnold throws a better ball than Daniel Jones?
Absolutely, yes.
Wow. Man, now I know you're in left field without a glove.
Oh, really? How'd he do yesterday?
Listen. Did you look at play design at all? Did you see Sam Darnold be a quarterback that he was never a quarterback before?
No, Sam Darnold's had games in this league. When was Daniel Jones ever a quarterback? When was Daniel Jones ever a quarterback?
If you put up 6 points with a guy like Daniel Jones,
yeah,
okay, and you can't call some plays, we don't know what plays are called. He can't get the ball down the field.
The coach said in the post game, "Yeah, they were like, what about attacking the field?" It's like, look, we got to get better. The plays were called. Daniel Jones is unable to get the ball down the field. Last year, we saw the same thing in the first 6 games of the year when Daniel Jones was healthy for some of them. They couldn't get the ball down the field. Tyrod Taylor joins the team, and suddenly it's like Hyatt is actually on the team, and they start throwing the ball down the field. Like, not with much success, but at least they threw the ball down the field. Daniel Jones doesn't throw the ball down the field.
And what were you saying about Darnold a year ago or 2 years ago? He shouldn't be in the NFL or shouldn't be a quarterback?
No, never. First, I wanted the Giants to desperately draft him over Saquon Barkley. I was probably wrong on that on some level, but I've been on Sam Darnold for a long time. I wanted Sam Darnold to be a Giant. I think Sam Darnold is a very good thrower of the football.
You didn't want the Buffalo quarterback the year before?
No, I wish I was smart enough to suggest Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson. What year before? Sam Darnold and Josh Allen came out the same year.
Buffalo quarterback. What's his name?
Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. Yeah, he came the year before, right?
No, it wasn't. It was the same year as Sam Darnold.
Josh Allen. That's who I wanted.
You were smarter than me. I wanted Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold has always been a better prospect. Sam Darnold was going to be the first pick in the draft, and inexplicably, the Browns took Baker Mayfield. Sam Darnold, you know, won the Rose Bowl. Sam Darnold, you know, played well in college. Now, I'm not sure if he won the Rose Bowl. He just played well in it. I don't remember. He did. He won it, yeah. Sometimes you second-guess yourself. Sam Darnold was an excellent prospect coming out of college. Sam Darnold has immense ability to throw the football. You saw it in the game. Now, Sam Darnold doesn't have the same athleticism. Sam Darnold can't run the way Daniel Jones can run. And Daniel Jones led a team to the playoffs and won a playoff game. So you got that. And I'm not trying to justify Sam Darnold, nor am I trying to get Brian Daboll off the hook. Brian Daboll's awful in this game. The play calling was awful. I'm just saying the idea that, you know, and it is to go down the field, but, like, I'm telling you, I am positive that this coach, that Daboll wanted to go down the field more than he did. Should he have even called more? Yes. But I'm telling you, there were plays designed to get down the field. Daniel Jones can't do it right now. Whether it's his poor pocket presence, whether it's his inability to go through his progressions, whatever the case may be, or is just fear of turning the ball over. He's not throwing the ball down the field. We've seen when Tyrod Taylor and Danny DeVito, I knew I would do it once, when Tommy DeVito comes in, they threw the ball down the field. Not to much success. I'm not trying to tell you suddenly they were Aaron Rodgers throwing dimes all over the place, but at least they attacked a little bit. You think Daniel Jones is far superior to Sam Darnold? Why? Why? I'll show you seasons with the Jets where he put up numbers just as good or better than anything Daniel Jones has done. And this is, I'm not trying to, you know, defend. And part of the reason I bet them is because Sam Darnold's coming in. He hasn't had much success in this league. But just straight the thrower of the football, yeah, I'll put him up against Daniel Jones any day of the week. That was the entire first half. The entire first half was hearing the broadcast, then hearing Terry Bradshaw and all the guys on the Fox talking about, oh, listen, there's a reason why he's the third overall pick. You put him with a good team and a good offense, he can do this. And, you know, the Vikings are dangerous. That's what we just heard. It's not just me. I'm out in left field without a glove. I'm standing there with Terry Bradshaw. Me and him are out there with his new long hair. Dave in Westchester. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, hi, Chris. Always enjoy your show.
Thank you, buddy.
I have a Daniel Jones story for you. I was 2016. I was had some business in Washington, D.C. I finish it up. I'm tired. I call my wife. Say I'm headed home. She says, wait a minute. You can't go home without seeing your niece. I said, what are you talking about? She said, remember? She's at college at Duke. You got to go see her. I said, Duke is a four-hour freaking drive.
Right.
I said, I don't care. You're not going to live it down. You got to go. So off I go to Duke, since I always listen to my wife.
Sure.
And I get there the next morning, and of course I can't find my niece. Finally, I get my niece. How you doing? Oh, fine. Here, let me put my boyfriend on. So I was hanging out with my boyfriend. The boyfriend comes on. He said, you want to see a football game? We're headed off to the game. I said, okay. I had never heard of Daniel Jones at that point. Off I go to see the game, and this kid really knows Duke football. He's into it. He knows all the players. He gives me the scouting report on Daniel Jones. Then, you know, the guy is, they're talking about maybe he's going to get drafted in the pros, but to me, he can't see the field and his ball sails. He's a fast runner. He has a pretty good arm, but that was his scouting report.
Mm-hmm.
It was a good game, 28-27. They beat South Carolina. And Daniel Jones played okay, but I think he threw an interception. But I think the kid's scouting report was accurate. It's 8 years later.
Yeah.
I still think he has trouble seeing the field.
Yep.
And his ball sailed. I mean, he missed so many throws today. It was unbelievable.
Yeah, he missed a ton of throws today. And I mean, listen, his inability to read the field and go through progression, there's no doubt. And that's why the year they won, and this is why that year, in so many different ways, hindered what the Giants are trying to do here. It just flat out did. And, you know, one of them is it actually, I don't know if it did Daniel Jones any favors. Like, honestly. Like, the more I think of it, like, they were successful against a, you know, somewhat easy schedule. Saquon Barkley having a great year. And Wink Martindale scheming up a defense that made big-time turnovers and without having a good defense. Like, Wink Martindale did a tremendous job. It's going to go unforgotten, and he deserved to be let go. I'm not quibbling about that, but he had an unbelievable year as a defensive coordinator 2 years ago. And Daniel Jones got it in his head that he's successful if he doesn't take chances. All he has to do is not turn the ball over. And between that and getting banged up and getting beat up and having an offensive line that constantly provides pressure for him, he's unwilling to stand in the pocket, look around the field, and make a throw down the field. Like, I just think he's afraid of making a mistake. And look what happened in this game. He made them without attacking the field. Like, he was awful in this game. You can't be worse. Now, do I think he's going to be this bad every game? I would hope not. I don't think so. He'll be probably better against Washington. But this is who he is. That game is going to pop up 2-3 times a year. And I'm still waiting for the A-plus game. There's been two of them. Right? You want to go back to his rookie year in the first game he played against Tampa? I'll say three, because that game was very, very good. And he's had other games where he threw touchdown passes in his rookie year. He definitely did. But that's so long ago, I don't even know if you can count it. But in this new version of Daniel Jones over the last handful of years, let's just call the Brian Daboll era, there's been two good games. Two. Against the Colts. And against the last game of the year against the Colts 2 years ago. And then obviously the playoff game against Minnesota. And if you want to include the second half of the Cardinals game last year, week two, where he was a force and drove the team back and they won a game. All right, 2.5 games. That's it. Even in wins, he's just, don't make a mistake. You can't win in the NFL regularly. So when you talk about the idea that it gave him a contract, you talk about the idea that it hurt them developmental-wise and rebuild-wise, gave him a contract, had to, you know, have faith in Daniel Jones, and then plus that it taught Daniel Jones, as long as I don't turn the ball over, which he still did in this game, but it just feels like he doesn't want to go down the field. And I get the play calling, there was a lot of, you know, design runs. There was a lot of design short passes, no doubt. I'm not trying to tell you that Brian Daboll gave you a very aggressive play call and the quarterback didn't follow it, but there is no way, there were no chances in that game. Like, he never went down the field. There had to be opportunities. He's unable to get them.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Manning calling signal, takes the snap, looks left, pops him up, first wide open, touchdown Giants, and the left corner of the end zone.
Touchdown.
With 35 seconds to go, the Giants regain the lead.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
All right, 3:36. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. How about the Tariq Hill situation? That was, I guess, like the exact same thing as Scottie Scheffler at the that golf outing a few months ago, getting handcuffed. And you see the video of him being handcuffed and he's on the ground 2 hours before the game's about to start for, I guess, you know, some sort of vehicle violation. And he's considering legal action. I think one of the police officers has already been placed on, like, administrative leave. Crazy situation right before the game's about to start against Miami. And I had that game pegged. I mean, Jacksonville, they were dominating in that first half. Tua looked lost, had trouble throwing the football. The Jags looked really good. And then ATN fumbled through the end zone, and the game completely changed. Completely changed. And then they got their passing game going. The Jags stopped throwing the football. Lawrence had a great start, finished with under 200 yards passing when he was looking like he was going to really take it to Miami, who signed Ramsey to the big contract. Obviously, Dak signs the big contract right before the start of the year. So, a lot of NFL news, a lot of interesting games. We'll get to it more as we go through the week a little bit. Looking forward to next week, Overreaction Week 2. And then, thankfully, I was smart enough to stay away. I'm in one of these, like, very, very big knockout pools. And I would say at least 30%, maybe a little bit more than that, got knocked out with the Bengals. I mean, just a hideous performance by the Bengals. Just unbelievable to allow the Patriots to win that game. And of course, the Patriots, ugh, disgusting. And then Tom Brady, my guy, had his first game. I thought he said yeah a lot to answers. Like, Burkhart would say something, he would go, yeah. It sounded odd. But ultimately, you know, I'm sure he'll be fine. But I've never once... His dopey commercial, that's what, like, I just can't take it anymore. Like, this is why, you want to know why I'm sick of Tom Brady? Because they make him out to be, like, just, I know how hard he worked. I know where he was drafted and what he became. But the idea that, oh, Tom Brady's back to work. Did you see that dopey commercial, Mike? Where he's got, like, all the different versions of himself. Here's the Patriot version of him. He's like,
I'm so thankful that I did not see this. And it is my goal for the rest of the season to not see it.
Well, I'm gonna describe it. So pretty much he's working on prep for the game or whatever behind his computer. And he turns on the TV and there's, like, you know, a sports analyst who's like, when will Tom Brady just stop? Like, I mean, do you need to do this, Tom? Go with your millions of dollars and just go relax or whatever he says. And then Tom, like, gets up and he sits down. He starts thinking, all of a sudden, like, Patriot version Tom Brady comes out, because they don't know football is your life.
and then Buck's version of Tom Brady comes out. It's like, they don't understand where you came from. Then there's Michigan quarterback. Then there's little league Tom Brady, who is a little kid in a 49ers uniform. Like, and one day you'll be the greatest to ever play. And Tom Brady's just like, yep, back to work. It's like, Tom Brady, back to work. Game, Cowboys versus Browns. Like, it's just obnoxious.
It's too bad they didn't throw in a line from Buck's Tom Brady of, this is your life because you gave up your wife and kids keep doing this.
They didn't have roast Tom Brady. I thought they might have roast Tom Brady in there. But yeah, no, I know. They don't understand you threw everything away, including your family, to play this game.
The best thing I saw involving Brady, or heard involving Brady, was when Scott Hansen got, because I was watching Red Zone in the late window, and Scott Hansen got on him for not being excited enough about a potential 71-yard field goal attempt.
Oh, really? I didn't see that. They almost kicked the 71-yard field goal?
So the Cowboys were lining up for 66, and then there was debate after the penalty, which didn't need to happen because they had a timeout, but Mike McCarthy's Mike McCarthy.
I know.
And they were wondering, Burkhart's put it out there. Are they going to let him kick from 71? Why not? And Brady, was still very measured, and Scott Hansen was like, come on, you got to be more excited for that. You might, see history.
71-yard field goal would have been something. I did see the penalty in the 66-yard field goal. I didn't expect a 71-yard attempt. But
Nobody did, but Tony Romo and Chris Collinsworth would have lost their damn minds.
That's true. That is true. 888-808-1019. We'll get to some of the other things around the league. Baker Mayfield playing extremely well. Talking about that draft class of him, Sam Darnold. Limo driver Ed out in Eastern Pennsylvania. What's up, Ed?
Hey, good morning, buddy. Good morning. Looking at a lot of the teams, you can see when you don't have preseason and you keep your starters and everybody don't play, and then you expect for them to have this type of game. It's crazy because you can see it with so many false starts. Oh, even the Eagles game and stuff like that. It's just these guys are not prepared. You're not letting anybody do anything at all, But I want to say one thing about the Giants. I'm a Jets fan, but just saying it. It's like they sit up here and everybody's like, oh, Giants with 4 wins, 5, 6, 7, 8 wins. Listen, they'll be barely if they get 1 win and they're going to be picking 1, 2, or 3. It's just crazy. And why would you give Daniel Jones $40 million? Was he the only quarterback or that's what you had to do?
I don't
understand why the Giants did that.
No, they had no choice. They needed a quarterback. He just won them a road playoff game. You had no choice but to pay him, and that's the going rate for a quarterback. I think it's a little unfair now to go back to that and say, oh, you didn't pay Saquon Barkley, but you paid Daniel Jones. Saquon Barkley would not have done this here. And again, it's one game, 3 touchdowns in a field where everybody was slipping and sliding all over the place. Barkley had a very good game. That didn't bother me at all. If you're a Giants fan and hung up on that, God bless you. I don't know what to tell you. We know how talented he is. You know what he's going to do going to the Eagles in a good team. Like, that's just, they're in a position where it makes sense to pay him. It doesn't make sense for the Giants. I still think the Giants did the right thing. I still think they can have a running game. You don't have to have, dynamic plays. I think a couple of running backs would have had 2 touchdowns in that game for the Philadelphia. The first run of the game, he looked like he fell down. Like, he could barely move. But, I don't get hung up on the amount of touchdowns Saquon Barkley scored. But, that's why we talk about that year. They had no choice off that year. What are you going to do, not pay the quarterback who just won a road playoff game for you and played, unbelievably well in that game, was the reason you won that game? You're going to go into the free agent market and who? Get Sam Darnold? Looking back on it, it would have been a better idea. Could have got Sam Darnold. Probably could have got Baker Mayfield. Both of those guys, certainly Baker Mayfield last year and now this year to start on fire, playing just as well, if not better, costing a hell of a lot less money. But, you're right. I don't know. And that's what's frustrating about it, because you felt like last year was the draft year for quarterbacks. And this year, I'm sure there'll be a bunch at the top by the time the draft comes around. There always is. And that's where they need to be. And again, I'm not going to want to do it, and people are going to get mad at me, but there's going to come a point where it's going to be in the best interest of the New York Giants to lose football games. Nobody likes to hear it. I was actually texting with Evan today a little bit, and we had this conversation. Evan doesn't believe in it. Evan wants to win every game you can win. I get it. I get it. Right? That it kind of goes back to the conversation I just had about fans and players and the distinction and what, you know, booing. Like, it seems foreign. It seems unfan-like to root for losses. But in this one sport in particular, there is a dramatic benefit of losing football games once your season is over. It's just a fact. If the Giants had lost a couple more games, they could be playing right now with Jaden Daniels. I don't know if that is going to end up being the answer or not, but they could have had an option here and felt like, well, okay, Brian Daboll is going to develop a young quarterback. We've already got one now. You can't win with Daniel Jones. You can't win with him. The Giants are just in a miserable spot right now. Chuck. In the truck. What's going on, Chuck, in the truck?
What's up, Mac? How you doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. Yeah, I agree. I wanted to touch on the Mets. I also want to touch on Jones. Sure. And the Giants. The thing about the Mets is kind of, it's not really small, but, and it's like nobody asked Mendoza, why does he continue to burn our good bullpen arms? And I won't say meaningless situations, but like, you know, like the Budo and then with the Angels up 5-1. And
right.
Then the next game, now you got to go to Brazoban. And then Brazoban ends up blowing the 4-2 lead. You know, then we're up 4-0 on Cincinnati when their offense looked dead all game. Young came in, you know, pitched a great inning, 10 pitches, and you burn the closer. And I just knew last night when he did that, or the night before, that we were going to need Diaz tonight and we weren't going to have him. Mm-hmm. And then you get stuck with Maton, and Maton blows the game. It's like,
yeah, I mean, Maton's been very, very good for you. I understand your point. And there has been a couple of instances where I completely agree with you, where he threw guys in there, especially Buto, where it made no sense. But, you know, Maton's been, he has been pretty damn good for you. It's not like you threw a bad reliever out there. But ultimately, you scored one run. I mean, you're not going to win every game, and you're trying to secure victories now. If you have a lead, you want to throw those pitchers. I get it. I didn't have much of a problem the other night as much as I've had in other situations. And again, you went to a guy who's been really, really good for you. I mean, it's been one of the that was a great trade.
Yeah, it has been, but you can't waste Diaz. It just reminds me of the decisions he keeps making. And as far as the Giants, you are exactly right. And that other caller that called in about, you know, Darnold, like you said, come on, Darnold, you know, going to even compare, you know, the collegiate careers, you know, and the type of prospect.
No. I mean, Darnold, and he's a better – Darnold throws a great ball, always has. He has the same issues Daniel Jones has had. He's unable to read the field, unable to go through his progressions, make smart decisions, you know, pocket presence. Nah. Like, you know, he sees ghosts. Like, that guy, that's been the problem. He makes the big mistake, throws a bad pick. Like, there's no doubt about it. But just straight up, you know, five-step drop, back foot hits, ball comes out. Sam Darnold has done it, you know, does it as good, if not better, than almost anyone. And he certainly does it better than Daniel Jones.
I wanted Josh Allen, too, and I want to get one more thing in. I hate to say it, but the Giants got to start over, man. Shane's got to go. You know, I think the hire should have been Brian Flores. I mean, that Minnesota defense was immaculate.
Yeah, well, that's Daboll, not Shane. But, yes.
When you think of this, Justin Fields, Russell Wilson, Saquon Barkley, and Xavier McKinney combined are going to make less than Daniel Jones. He has to go. No way that you can. Gettleman made for as bad as Gettleman was, right?
Yes.
He made four good picks.
I agree.
In 5 years. That was Dexter Lawrence, Andrew Thomas, Saquon Barkley, and Xavier McKinney. We have now lost two of those four.
Yeah.
So that basically means we have nothing to show for the 5 years that Gettleman was here doing a terrible job. And you're never going to win like that.
Yeah,
you're never going to win. You have to build talent. And why do people think the quarterback needs to go first? Look at Patrick Mahomes. Look at the situation that he came into. They were a good team with Alex Smith. You know, look at with the Panthers. Look at with Bryce Young. You know, you bring me. We should have never paid Daniel Jones because we were never that quarterback away. You want to build a roster and then get you a guy that can come into a situation.
I mean, it depends. It depends on where you are. Like, I think it's easier because you just gave me a couple of examples. I'll give you C.J. Stroud. The Texans were awful. Right. He comes in and suddenly now they're Super Bowl contenders. I mean that. I mean,
but they have weapons though.
Yeah, but not really. If Nico Collins was a New York Giant, if Nico Collins was a New York Giant right now, you know, we'd be saying, "Oh man, Nico Collins can't get it done." I mean, let's be totally honest. Like, so I mean, I disagree. I agree with some of the stuff you said. I disagree with some of it. I don't think Saquon Barkley's an extremely talented player. I don't think it was a good pick. I think it was a terrible draft pick, but. You don't draft him 2 overall. You want to talk about not having a roster. You do not have a roster. The Giants did not have a roster to draft a running back 2nd overall. They just didn't. So while, yes, talented player, and all the best players on the team were drafted by Dave Gettleman, no doubt. Dexter Lawrence was a tremendous draft pick. Andrew Thomas, Saquon Barkley, right? Those are the 3 most talented players on the team, all Dave Gettleman. And I've talked about that Dave Gettleman deserved a little bit of credit, although I do hate the Saquon Barkley pick. Talented player. And helped them win, clearly. But yeah, I don't know if I agree with you on how to, you know, it's good luck building the roster first. Like, if you're in a position like that, like if you have a veteran quarterback that you feel you can try and win with, and then you want to build the roster up, that's fine. But I mean, when you're looking for a quarterback and you're bad, you take one at the top of the draft and hope you turn your franchise around. Yeah, look at Bryce Young. Bryce Young stinks. That's the problem. You can't draft the wrong one, no doubt. No doubt. And you got to be right. Like, you know, and some of those guys, Patrick Mahomes, you don't think Patrick Mahomes would have been good anywhere? I mean, he wouldn't have been this good. He might not be winning Super Bowls already. But you think Patrick Mahomes would have been ruined if drafted by anyone? Like, I find that hard to believe. That's how good he is. He changes your franchise. But sure, that's the Kansas City model. Let him sit for a year. You know, you have a playoff roster. If you get lucky, if you draft, like the 49ers whiffed on Trey Lance. Terrible pick, just completely whiffed on it. It doesn't hurt you if you take Brock Purdy with the final pick of the draft. Like, sure. If you get a quarterback late in the draft and you have a talented team, sure, that would be great. But good luck building the roster of the 49ers. Like the Giants, that's a lot of work to do. And then how do you find that quarterback? Like, yeah, you want to get lucky and draft Brock Purdy? Great, okay. You want to have poor evaluation of quarterbacks and find Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson at the back end of the 1st round, 2nd round, if you're lucky enough? You want to trade up and draft Patrick Mahomes, what, 10th or 11th? Okay. Like, those are rare circumstances and hard to do. Well, you pay a veteran quarterback a lot of money. You want to bring Kirk Cousins in. You want to bring, you know, Gardner Minshew here. Like, what do you do once you build up that roster to find a quarterback? I'd rather get the quarterback and then build the roster around him. Go get an inexpensive quarterback and then build the roster around him. That's what I'd rather do. I think that's the easier way to go about it if you're right on the quarterback. Now, yeah, you have to be right on the quarterback. But you want to just spend years building a roster and then find the quarterback? Guess what? You got to be right on him then too. 888-808-1019, 888-808-1019. Continue to take your phone calls on this miserable Monday morning. That's right, miserable. Hopefully tonight, the New York Jets, we can start focusing on them a little bit, Jet fans, as you should be pumped. Don't let us Giant fans and our misery ruin your optimism for this season, because it's warranted. And I am looking forward to this game. I've picked the Jets. I've bet on the Jets. I am pumped for this Jet team. I am pumped for this Monday night matchup against the 49ers. I'm looking forward to seeing Rodgers actually play a game for the New York Jets. There is optimism. Maybe one of these teams can give us a reason to cheer instead of booing at halftime.